Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, survivors, caregivers, and all of our followers that are tuning in to our national and international TBI One Love podcast, which is spreading our positive form of hope, inspiration, and education to those that have been touched by a brain injury, and of course, awareness and prevention to the general public. Well, to kick off our September series, we have such an inspiration and inspiring guest. Who I'm speaking of, I'm sure a lot of you have seen on our social media format, is Leah Chime. Leah is a survivor that, in case you didn't have the opportunity to tune in and view her special story, on August 7th in 2018, she was leaving dinner with a few friends and decided to take a motorized scooter home. But unfortunately, she was involved in a freak accident on that scooter and, of course, sustained a brain injury. After sustaining her brain injury, she, of course, had to relearn, like we all have, and kind of remold to a new form of life. She not only got an amazing feedback and process very quickly, which is an inspiration for all of us, but also it was a great reality check with the birth of Knockin' Noggins through her artwork. She has created a movement that changes how the world sees helmets through education, awareness, and custom designs that she paints by hand. So I hope you guys are tuned in and really comfortable, because this is going to be a great show with such inspirational guidance. Without further ado, let's get the show started. Leah, can you hear me?
I can.
Thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule and calling in tonight.
Thank you for having me.
No problem. Well, you heard me give a brief introduction about you and your inspiration and, of course, your helmet difference making. So would you mind, before we get going, giving a brief introduction for yourself also?
Yeah. So my name is Leah. I am from Austin, Texas, and I am an artist. I'm a fitness enthusiast. I'm a lover of life and nature, and I'm also a brain injury survivor. So, yeah, that's me.
Wow, that's phenomenal, and it's great also that you joined our national and international survivor family. Your story is so amazing, and your process, not only during recovery, but the movement you're making now and being a helmet advocate is phenomenal.
Again, I apologize.
No, not a problem at all. I know you're very busy, especially with the difference making that you do. So obviously the first question I'm going to ask is, with your brain injury and how you've sustained it, unfortunately, have you ever heard of a brain injury beforehand?
So I actually had a roommate who about 10 years ago, 7 years prior to my injury, who had CTE. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know what CTE was, but he had played professional football. And so I kind of watched him realize that something wasn't right. But it had been one of those things that it was brand new to me when I had seen that, and kind of learning that together with him was my first insight into brain injuries. However, he played professional football. So, you know, that is something that you hear of from professional athletes or people who have been in like combat. So those are the only two ways my brain went when I had thought of brain injuries before I sustained one on a day-to-day thing.
Wow. So you had a little bit of education that, I mean, without thoroughly knowing, but a lot of people, and when I say a lot, I'm talking about 95% of individuals do not know what a brain injury is or how we're all been raised for generations. When they hear the word concussion, if they don't know that much about it, they think it's similar to a headache, if you will, not really a brain damage. And, you know, I'm glad you were somewhat educated, but it's unfortunate that you were in that accident on your way home after dinner with friends. And not only just at that time, but what was your perspective, if you don't mind me asking, on the use of wearing a helmet on anything, scooter, bicycle, skateboard, you name it?
Well, my parents raised me to put a helmet on your head when you're on a motorcycle, for sure, and a bicycle. However, I would not consistently wear one on my bike. I can be honest about that. If I was on a trail, I'm like, oh, I'm okay. I'm on a trail. I'm not on the road. But I knew that it was the right thing to do, kind of like a seatbelt. But I wasn't necessarily religious on it growing up. And as I got older, I got more cautious to it. I think once you see things and hear things and know things, but those motorized scooters, like that wasn't even an option. There's no helmets anywhere for those. And they're such a spontaneous grab that you're not thinking ahead to be like, oh, I should probably grab this helmet and carry it around with me to my dinner and in my Uber in order to ride the scooter home, if that makes sense.
Oh, yes, it does make perfect sense. And we've all either have had in the past or even still to this very day have that mentality, no matter what we're on, to persuading ourselves that, oh, hey, you know, we're not that risk taker, we're going to be safe, or we're not going to be doing anything crazy, so forth. And most importantly, the most powerful persuasion key is, well, where I'm going, I don't have enough room to carry a helmet. But those little things, unfortunately, and you're a perfect example, very easily can be the big things that matter. So it's very benefit to not only always wear a helmet, but always remind yourself that it's not only us that can cause something to fall, even if we assume we are in 100% control.
Exactly.
And, you know, with having this helmet, you know, impact of not wearing one and now being your helmet advocacy, tell us more about Knock and Noggins.
Yeah, so Knock and Noggins stem from my time actually in the hospital. I had a friend who we would always banter with each other and kind of pull each other's legs. And he came to visit me and had a helmet in his hand and was like, is it too soon? And we kind of laughed about it because he was being silly. But he said, no, I think this would be something cool. I know you love art. What if you painted something on this helmet that you could wear around? And so that's like the initial inspiration for wearing the helmet was, as I was recovering, I just kept staring at this light blue helmet that I had on my desk that my friend had brought me. And I was trying to think of what the problem was with helmets, right? And so where my mind went is that they're so plain and not fit for an individual. You're buying something that's just pretty neutral because that's so it would not represent your style or what your jam is. And we don't think twice about grabbing a water bottle if we have our stickers and our drawings on it. So why not a helmet? So that's kind of how it all came to fruition was we know that these save lives, but what makes somebody want to actually be proud to wear one is if they have their own style on it. So I created Knock and Noggins where I hand paint every helmet and I have some original designs, which are ones that I came up with a lot of floral designs, some space theme, some Texas theme ones. And then I also will work with individuals to design their own helmet with whatever they want. I've done designs from Grateful Dead themed helmets to unicorns to cartoons to all sorts of things. I've painted it. So that is knocking on in.
Wow, you know, and that's phenomenal. Not only that you personally have a story behind it, and what I'm referring to is not just that you sustained a brain injury without wearing one, but that you have a passion for artwork and you really understand both personally and professionally how enjoyable it is to own a helmet and have one that you like to wear.
Yeah.
You know, and after your injury, of course, what are some of the recommendations or advocacy that you recommend for individuals of any ages with using a helmet and protecting our milling?
Yeah. So as you mentioned earlier, our mission is to change how the world sees helmets through education and awareness in addition to the design. Mm-hmm. So our messaging is all about educating the masses of the statistics of wearing helmets, the myths of wearing helmets, how to wear one properly, and things for you to be more comfortable about. And a lot of people have these misconceptions that they've had since children about what's safe, what's not safe, and things that I uncover every day from reading a lot of the statistics from the CDC and the bicycle organizations. So there's lots of information out there that's not accurate. And so definitely being educated on the fact that I want to pull a specific stat that right now we're starting to realize how many deaths are prevented from wearing a helmet on your head. Mm-hmm. And that alone is the statistic that hands down for me, that sells me, right? If you're going to be that one in whatever chance, wouldn't you want to have that on your head? If that's going to give you another chance at life.
Exactly. You know, and it's very important, like you just stated, to wear a helmet because it does make a difference. Of course, we all have that mentality after a certain age, helmets are not needed or kind of nerdy or too protective. But I think with your not only passion, but your expertise, you are really going to help break the nerdy reputation of helmets so that more people are into protecting our melon instead of trying to look cool.
That is super accurate. I recently wrote a blog post on my website about the five main reasons people don't wear helmets.
Mm-hmm.
And I would like to say debunk them, but kind of gave a counter argument to them. And there's certain things like, oh, I don't want to get helmet hair, right? Well, where are you riding your bike where you have to have really fancy hair? You know, like these certain these certain excuses that you really uncover it. That's not the reason. The reason is not because of your hair or for, you know, the certain things. Or I am very confident in riding my bike. Of course you are. But the car that is looking down at their phone or eating a burrito and not seeing you, they're not aware of how good you are in a bicycle when you can't see them coming up behind you.
Mm-hmm.
These little things that, you know, as our parents always say, I'm not worried about you driving. I'm worried about the other drivers. They have something to that.
Exactly. And they have to understand that, kind of like what you just stated, people aren't paying attention. It takes two. Sometimes it only takes one, but it's not saying like how we've always had that perspective. Hey, if I'm in control of how I ride anything, bicycle, skate, skateboarding, and even scooters, that, oh, nothing's going to happen. Sometimes that is true, but that sometimes percentage, I would think, and I could be easily wrong, I want to say it's about 75, maybe 80%, maybe. And even though that leaves 20 to 25%, which is the smaller equation, that little percent is what matters the most.
Exactly.
Now, with making your helmets and the design you do, what are some of the steps that takes to really make these presentable?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I'll go two routes. My original designs, I've sourced some of the common requests I will get and created some designs that appeal to a majority of the people that I've pulled. So that's kind of how I came out with the original ones. And then as far as a custom design goes, I have a kind of a catch-all custom quote form that I figure out, try to get in the creative brain of the person who wants this design, and then we'll send them a concept and a color scheme and a quote before we even begin the helmet. So that's how I kind of start with wanting a helmet to going into the next step. And then from there, I just channel that person while I paint on the helmet. I mean, I wish I had more of a, like a systematic, but that's how it goes. We figure out what you want, and then I make it happen.
Exactly. And I think what's very cool is, again, not only figuring out what we want, but actually having it done. Instead of thinking, oh, I'm probably going to have to try to find something or only contact a big brand, and I'm just another customer, so it's probably not that accessible. But when you have someone like you that not only understands but has a passion for art and really just wants to break that nerdy representation, it's a win-win for both sides of the table. How can people get a hold of you or contact you to not only learn more about you and your story, but also your passion and get everything lined up to have their dreams come reality?
Yeah, so everything is through our website, which is knockinnoggins.com. So without the G's, there's no G's in there, knockinnoggins.com. I have the About Me will tell you more about my personal story. There's a video where I explain kind of what happened to me and how Knockinnoggins came to fruition. There's the blog post that I mentioned about there with a lot of the education standpoints. And then there's the helmets, the shop helmet section, and that will show you all the designs that I was speaking of those Knockinnoggins original designs. And then there's a section for a custom helmet. Now, our custom quote form is absolutely free. So if you're just thinking, you know, I would like to try thinking about this idea, let's see what you could come up with, you fill that out and I'll shoot you over a concept and see if that is in your means at that moment, or if it's not, you can put that for a later time. But that is one-stop shop, would be knockinnoggins.com.
There you go. Okay, perfect. Now, do you also, not only because they got your website address, do you guys have any social media in case that's easy for them?
Yes, we have an Instagram, which is just at knockinnoggins. And then we have a Facebook community as well, and that one is We Are Knockinnoggins.
Okay, awesome. Well, Leah, you're such a great inspiration. And again, you can tell with your tone that you really love what you do and are a great, powerful advocacy. I know that you're used to getting questioned all the time about your work and your expertise, but I'm sure you might have some. Do you have any questions for me?
More of a comment for you.
Sure.
I absolutely love how you took your story and created this movement for survivors. I know. So I just hit my 3-year survivorversary is what I call it this weekend, actually. And I celebrate the day that I almost died but didn't. And I remember at the beginning of that recovery, looking like feeling the need for a support system and a support group. And so I love that that's what you're providing. And so if anybody's listening who hasn't personally had an injury, but you know somebody who has had, this would be a great group to send that person to just for some resources and some inspiration and to know you're kind of not alone. Or those of you who are listening who are really close to somebody with a brain injury, good on you for getting informed and learning. That is so wonderful because it doesn't just affect the person who has it, right? the people close to the their survivor definitely are affected too. So thank you, James, for creating this, and to everybody who's taking time to have empathy for those of us who are struggling with kind of a silent thing sometimes.
I agree. Not only, first off, thank you for the kind words, but also congratulations on your survivorship and your anniversary. A lot of people, when I say a lot, I'm talking about almost all survivors, think it's just a day, a reminder. But it's two things. One, when you remember the day, that shows that your memory and cognitive skills are regrowing. But also, it is always a day to remember because it is a second birthday. It's a celebration. Of course, bad things had to happen, but good things were planted to develop and blossom much higher than we even expected. So congratulations. I'm glad you're still here. You've got two birthdays, your original birthday and then your new birthday. That's like what I always tell people. Well, it's, there's two different ages. When, like, for example, when someone asks how old are you, you say, well, are you talking physically or mentally? Because that's a whole different ballgame. And it kind of informs when they say, what do you mean? Then you kind of get to educate them about brain injuries and tell your story that will help them with education, inspiration, and, of course, awareness and prevention.
1,000%.
And, well, you know what? Thank you for all you do. I really am excited not only to have you on the podcast and a part of the TBI One Love family, but also being both here in the Lone Star State, I really want to build a long-term friendship, both personally and professionally, and get some helmets lined up so that way together we can have people love their brain, helmet their head, and most importantly, keep that thing strapped.
1,000%. I am in.
Awesome. I cannot wait. We'll keep in touch on the personal level, and we'll get some stuff lined up, and that way we can help each other with, again, helmet advocacy, brain injury advocacy, but also let people know, instead of just going to a store to buy a helmet, which is good, get something that is personalized, fits your head nice, but also you're proud to wear it instead of trying to fall into that nerdy trend.
Yes. Yes. Preach.
And there you go. Well, I hope you have a great night. Congratulations on all your continuing success. Honored to know you, and I look forward to getting some helmets lined up and working together to make minds and lives better.
Me too, James. Thank you very much.
No problem. Thank you. Wow, everyone. What a great segment that was, hearing from one of our own TBI One Love survivors. If you want to learn more about her, her passion, and most importantly, her unbelievable artwork, please visit tbionelove.org. Or you can find her, and there's also links on our social media, for Knock and Noggins. We highly recommend you contact her to get a helmet design that fits your needs, wants, and most importantly, your style. Like mentioned, we'll be doing some work with her and get some helmets lined up. So even if you want to get a TBI One Love helmet, that will be phenomenal. We want to thank you guys for your continuing support and letting us grow to paint the world green. Please, as always, we can never spread this enough. Continue to follow us on all forms of social media and spread the word about TBI One Love in our positive form. We look forward to continuing our movement to, as always, paint the world green and, most importantly, changing lives to the fullest. One love.